Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Dashiell of the Oregonian, Oregon Live. He's been at this a long time. He's covered just about everything imaginable in the sports world in this state, from preps to the Blazers, everything in between. I'm proud to call him a co-worker at the Oregonian and also a friend. You know you're a friend, right, Nick Dashiell? You're my friend.
Most of the time, yeah. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I just got done reading your column. Would you say Larry Scott, if you were equating him to a football coach who's coming off a couple of 3-9 seasons and we're looking at a 1-11 coming up? I mean, isn't that kind of how things have gone for him of late?
Yes.
I mean, most colleges look at that and go, is it time to fire the guy? And I mean, you know his contract better than I do, but at what point do you just go, we just need to get rid of him, pay him off, and start living again?
I think
I don't know why that's not being seriously discussed if it isn't already. I don't know.
My presumption is he's done, and that the conference presidents and chancellors know that, hey, his contract's guaranteed through the summer of 2022, and that they will make a change between now and then. And they're probably got bigger problems on their own campuses they're trying to work out. But, yeah, I mean, look at the way they rolled out the announcement that the Pac-12 was postponing the season. It was like a Zoom call with he and five other people. It's that he's no longer the guy in charge.
But that's not the way the colleges would deal with a football coach or a basketball coach that is clearly at the end of his. They find a way to pay him off and start moving on to the next guy. I mean, so they're going to wait till 2022 to, you know, let's get the next guy and see what he can do. I think it's time now to get going.
I'm with you. And it's just, and here's another thing, you know, I touched on this off the top of the show that, you know, there were no games for weeks and weeks and weeks. And, you know, they still looked at me and said, you have to do 3 hours of radio each day and you need to write columns. It's a challenge to create compelling content, but you do it. You've done that on the Oregon State beat. Why would you, if you're the Pac-12 network, just wave the white flag? It's such old school thinking. Like, I would be out there creating new content, drawing in new viewers, saying, look, we don't need games to attract viewers. Let's have great shows. Let's create content. And instead, they're just punting.
Well, I mean, that's what the Pac-12 network's been all along under Larry Scott. I mean, that's another one. Is it time to rethink this whole Pac-12 network thing now that they've pretty much got rid of everybody? And that's why I just think it's time to move on to a new guy that has a fresh vision and maybe he'll see the Pac-12 network have a different vision for the thing, because the way it's going now, it's just clearly not working.
Nick Dashiell of the Oregonian, OregonLive.com. You can read him there. Follow him on Twitter as well. You cover Oregon State. State of the Union right now at Oregon State. What are the big questions?
Well, the biggest question is how do you plug the revenue shortfall for this upcoming year? Because it's going to be anywhere, you know, between probably $35 to $60 million, and maybe even more if they don't get money from, you know, the NCAA tournament. How do you plug that? Because there's costs that they have. There's things they have to pay regardless of whether they play games or not. They have salaries, they have scholarships, you know, they have fixed cost on all the things that go on campus. So they got to find a way to plug those holes. So I know that's high on the agenda. And then, how do you make this football season happen? I realize it's Monday morning quarterbacking, but it's really not. I thought, back when the Pac-12 pulled the plug on the fall, that they, I'm not saying that wasn't going to be the decision all along, but I thought they could have waited at least till Labor Day and get camps going, see how things go. I mean, a lot of these schools are going online. I mean, it's easier to bubble these teams now than it's ever been before. I feel like right now I'm more optimistic about about season going on in these three Power Five conferences than I was 3 weeks ago. If the Pac-12 had waited till Labor Day, I mean, maybe we got something going. But I think those are the two things. The biggest things are the revenue shortfall and how do you get the football season going.
Beaver fans were presented with three options for their season tickets. I'm looking at it right now because I have season tickets at Oregon. I got season tickets at Oregon State. The options that I have that are available to me is a full donation. Basically, convert my season tickets into a donation to the athletic department that would benefit the athletic department. It would also give me some priority access to seats in future years if I do that. A partial donation that I can opt into turning my seat and parking contribution into a partial donation, or just a credit for future years. What should I do here, Dash? Well, I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to do it right now with you on the phone with me.
Yeah, funny there's not that option four. Oh, wait, it's in tiny print way at the bottom of the email where you can actually get a refund, too.
Yeah, and that says, all right, here are my four options. I'm going to read them again. I'll summarize them. Student-athlete full donation, student-athlete partial donation, season ticket holder credit, or have a ticket office representative contact me regarding a refund.
In your shoes, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm fairly certain you were planning on getting season tickets for next year. I probably would just roll it over to next year, but I have heard that they're having pretty good success at getting people to donate part or all of the season ticket to the athletic department. I'm hoping I can talk to Scott more about that at some point. But I've heard that they're having some pretty good success at getting people to make the donation.
I just rolled it over. I took the credit for 2021. So there. I never sit in the seats. I always give them away to listeners and I'm happy to do that. But, I'm not making a donation. I want the credit for the tickets.
Well, why would you use the seats when you can sit next to me? I mean,
that's true, too. Jonathan Smith was on the show yesterday. He said, and maybe I'd missed it elsewhere, but I thought this was a little newsy in the Pac-12 world, but he said they're being told January 1 would be the soonest time that they could kick off a game. He said, but that doesn't mean we couldn't start practicing. And they're now getting 15 hours or 12 hours a week where they can kind of do drills. But he says they could begin full practices like in December and possibly kick off January 1. What are the factors, in your opinion, Dashiell, that will affect when the Pac-12 starts?
Well, that's true, and that's been talked about a little bit. About they can start as early as January 1st, and if that were the case, they'd have to start practicing probably around November 15 to 20, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, I mean, he's right there. I think from what I understand, they're looking harder at starting earlier in the 2021 than closer to the spring. I just think the longer they wait, the more trouble they're going to have getting the season finished and then restarting in the fall of 21. So I think they'd like to get this thing going as early as possible. And I mean, if you look at the Pac-12 landscape, Washington State would have some issues if playing January games, and Colorado and Utah would, but the rest of schools, I mean, it's pretty doable in January. I mean, the weather can be dicey around here in January and February, but generally it's not. So I think they'd like to get games going you know, in January, February, somebody, because I think people are also sort of in a football, still in a football mood in January, February. I don't know that, you know, they'll always be an appetite for football, but I don't know that people will be quite as jazzed to see, you know, Oregon State playing on April 26th. You know, maybe they would more so in February.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian with us. Is there an advantage in a position group to having some more time? Meaning, does the quarterback group at Oregon State benefit maybe in having what is essentially like an extended spring football before potential spring season? Is there a silver lining anywhere for in any position group?
Well, I think given what's happened, you know, this year where they weren't able to do a lot of off-season workouts, I don't think the downtime is going to – I think the downtime will help the quarterbacks and the receivers because they really haven't had much time to, you know, get in sync and throw every day at each other. So at least that part of the game would be up to speed. And there's a, you know, there's a number of guys, you know, they're coming off injuries and the extra time, you know, like an Addison Gumbs, you know, he was maybe probable for camp, but, you know, not 100% sure. Well, he's, you know, he should be ready to go for sure by January. And there's several other guys that are, you know, kind of, you know, that were coming back from injury. So those things would be positives for Oregon State.
Nick Daschle, you're the best. Proud to call you a colleague and friend. You know, before I got to know you, I thought, hey, he's a little bit sarcastic all the time. Look at this Daschle guy. He's always sarcastic. Now I realize you're funny as hell.
I don't think my kids would agree with you on that, but
well,
but then
my
kids do agree with their dad, so.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, Daschle, thank you for joining us. There he is. That's the latest on Oregon State. We'll get an update on Oregon in the 1 o'clock hour. Our Big Splash is next. Well, we got a big splash today. It comes in the Pac-12. I feel bad for a bunch of employees who lost their jobs and are now out in the cold today. bottom line, Pac-12 laid off a line of employees and furloughed 88 others in a collective Zoom call. It's our big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there. Must be
the Big Splash.
Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner, makes more than double what Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, makes. Wrap your head around that. The apologists for the Pac-12 for years have pointed out that Larry Scott runs both a conference and a media company. That's why he makes double. He also, though, has Mark Shukin, head of the Pac-12 networks, earning nearly $1 million a year. So what? That doesn't make sense to me. Ultimately, though, today, what really doesn't make sense to me is the silence coming from the Pac-12 presidents and chancellors, the bosses of Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner. He's taken a 12% pay cut effective in July, rather a compensation reduction, not a pay cut, effective in July. Speculation is that that compensation reduction included bonuses that Scott was going to give back. But ultimately, you've got a conference commissioner who is obscenely overpaid. On a day in which about 100 people either got laid off or furloughed, it's just a bad look for the Pac-12 conference. It's the Big Splash. Conference has a media company. It has a football conference. Not very good at either one. And I wish it were great at both. That's the Big Splash today. feel awful for 88 people being on a Zoom call. Let me kick that around with you, Alabama Adriana. You're a expert on social graces and etiquette, and you're in touch with the everyman on a daily basis. Putting 88 people on a Zoom call, is there a better way to announce that you've been furloughed than, hey guys, everybody looks great, everybody's got good lighting, nice to see all your faces in those tiny boxes, got some bad news for you, you're all furloughed. 88 people at once.
What's worse to me is that they probably didn't even do that traditional Zoom call. They probably did it like a conference style, so it's like a YouTube video basically. Yep. That you're watching to be told that you don't have a job anymore, or for at least a while. I think that it was lazy. I think it was inconsiderate. I think it was tacky.
Tacky. I like that. We got a 1 o'clock hour ahead. I'm going to leave Alabama Adriana's words there for you, hanging in the air. I appreciate everybody who makes this show.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.